Hi, this is Carrie.
And this is Sandy.
And this is
Crime Bitches Countdown.
While you're on vacation this summer, make sure to be on the lookout for Ronald McDonald and other scary villains like Vampire Jesus. On your next trip, considering bringing a pouch of glitter that you can either throw in your attacker's face or leave a trail behind you for people to find you. Welcome to part two of People Who Went Missing on Vacation. Welcome back to part two of Missing on Vacation. We have Gabby and Callie joining us again this week, so you may hear their voices on as well.
Hi.
Callie?
Hi.
She eventually gets it out there. Okay, on to case number five.
Number six.
Whatever.
Don't even get your math wrong.
I was going to say, I don't math good either.
We're not mathing people. All right. So this first one we're going to cover this week is one that I think everybody freaking knows, which is Madeline McCann. 3 years old. She was actually only like a week or two away from her fourth birthday when this happened. They went on holiday to Portugal. Her parents, Kate and Jerry, and she had twin two-year-old siblings, a boy and a girl. May 3rd, 2007 is when they went, I believe. Or is that when they got... Okay, I don't know. Whatever. May 3rd, 2007. That's what we'll go with.
Okay.
In addition to them going on vacation, they also went with a group of family friends and their children as well.
Okay.
And they got this apartment. It was like an apartment building where there were multiple apartments. And that's kind of where the families each got their own apartment in that building. The McCanns were on the ground floor in a two-bedroom apartment. So that's kind of important later, sort of. The adults went out to dinner on May 3rd. And they left their children in the rooms to...
Why? Wait, you're telling me they left two two-year-olds and a three-year-old in a room by themselves?
Yes.
Ugh.
And this was so controversial when this happened, because that was the biggest complaint people had was,
well, yeah.
Why would you leave your child
alone? Why?
And my thing, too, is they went out to dinner. It was, like, I think it was 8:30. So it's not that late, number one. People on the vacation keep their kids up ridiculously late all the time. Number two, why not go to dinner earlier so you could be with your kids? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't leave my kids.
No, I mean, especially with kids that young. Like, first of all, two-year-olds are little hellions that are just running around, like, trying to destroy
everything. Well,
you're
basically leaving a three-year-old in charge of two-year-olds.
Yeah, no. Not happening. So, I mean, like, they could choke, they could trip, they could bust their head open. Like, it happens so quickly.
Young, they would have been going to bed at that time, and I think that was the thought process, was they'll be sleeping, so it's not a big deal.
No.
Plus,
how many times kids get up in the middle of the night and hop in mom and dad's bed? Have a nightmare.
All right. Give the McCanns a break here for a second.
Even all their ages combined is 7 years old, and that's not even...
No. That's
you
true.
You can't
that's
even leave them home alone.
I was not allowed to be home alone till, like, nine, I think.
I think the first time I was, like, 12, and it was, like, my dad was running out to Food Lion and came right back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my brother had to watch me. And he didn't really watch me, but,
of course not.
You know.
So, you gotta understand something about where they went to dinner. Okay, so the apartment building's, like, right here as I'm doing this and no one else can see this.
Yeah.
The apartment building's here, and as they say, as the crow flies.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, and I don't know if you guys know what that means, but basically, if you went straight through, instead of actually following, like, a road and a path or whatever. So as the crow flies, it's 130 to 180 feet away. So it's not very far where they went.
Kids.
Far enough.
Yes.
I know.
Seconds.
I know.
So, the thing about that, too, is although it was 130 to 180 feet away, the way you had to get to it was to go out to the main street, walk down, go into the main doors, go past the pool, and get to the restaurant. So they could see the apartment building, but not, like, their rooms. They could see, like, the top of the building. So it's not like you're sitting on the deck or out by the pool that's right outside.
Right, right.
So that was a very big deal. I mean, when this all came out, that was... People criticized the parents so much, and they were obviously suspects because of it. The parents did rotate checking on the kids every 30 minutes, so all the parents would do that.
And again, I understand, and I understand the mentality and all of that, and I know they tried to put checks in place, but again, something can happen in a split second with a kid, especially kids that young, because of how rambunctious, because of how volatile they are. Like, they don't know. not to stick their fingers in light sockets.
You're going to get mad when I tell you this.
I'm already mad.
Yeah. So the patio doors were left unlocked.
Aww.
So the parents could just go in that way to check. They figured, you know, you could only lock the doors from the inside, so they'll leave them unlocked so that you could get in. They didn't have to go around the building to get through the front doors.
Test. This is why people need to take a test before they have kids.
It gets worse. They had called the restaurant, and they said, look, you know, for the next four nights, we want a reservation at 8:30. Mm-hmm. Book it for us. Our kids will be sleeping in the rooms. Well, I don't know.
So they told people.
And whoever they talked to put it in the notebook in the restaurant's lock.
Kids alone with the door unlocked.
So anybody could have seen it. And that is one of the theories, is that somebody saw that, mm-hmm. and that's how they knew. There are so many things in this case, and I did not write them all down, because if I did, we'd be talking about this for like an hour. So some of it I'm going to tell you by memory, but that is the basis. And then one of the friends, Matthew, at 9:30, let me go backwards, at 9:30, Kate, the mother, mm-hmm. was supposed to go and check on the kids. She was going to go. And Matthew said, look, I'm going to go check on mine. I'll check on yours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all fine and good. When it's your kids, you're anal about it.
Yep.
You are they breathing? You're all up in their face.
Hell, my dog can't sit still for 5 minutes before I'm like, are you breathing?
I do that with my dog, too. I'm like, did you die? So he didn't actually go fully into the room. He kind of opened the door, saw that, you know, there was nothing going on. The kids weren't running around. He didn't even go into the bedroom that far. So there's no guarantee that at 9:30 the kids were still, or that Madeline was still there. But at 10, Kate went and Madeline was missing. Now they found the bedroom window was open, which had definitely been closed. They'd always kept it closed.
Yeah, but they kept the sliding doors open, so what's the difference if a window's open?
Yeah. Yeah. So, the bedroom window was open, Madeline was gone, the twins were still there. A lot of things happened. Now, one of the friends said she saw a man walking down the street with a child under his arm, kind of like carrying the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't think much of it. She thought it was just another tourist taking their child who fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's completely possible, right?
Is that how you carry your kid if they were asleep, under your arm?
Yeah.
I don't know. We watched some.
We were at the pool the other day, and some lady picked up her kid and started carrying her like this sideways. In her arm.
It was
like,
hilarious.
And the kid was like a little bean pole being carried around.
It was so funny. And like, I don't know get why, that. It like, was...
it's not that I've never seen a parent, but it's usually the kid is being fussy. The parent's just like, come here. You grab him with one arm, carry him under your arm, and they're just in there going, dangling.
Or,
I don't know, the kid we saw was pretty chill.
Yeah. Interesting. Maybe they're just used to carrying them like that.
Yeah. For me, it was either over the shoulder or holding me like a baby kind of thing.
Well, and I would expect, especially if it's a kid, like, my sister used to fall asleep during car trips all the time. It didn't matter if it was, like, an hour. And they would, like, take her out gingerly and, like, put on her shoulder. Yeah, maybe fireman style over the shoulder. Or carry them like a baby. You know, something like that. Because they're asleep and you're trying not to wake them up. Mm-hmm. You just want to carry them to their bed and have them stay, for the most part, asleep. But, like, round the, like, just kind of gripping them up with all one arm where they're kind of like a T against your body. No. That's not, like, normal.
So, the thing is, the child that she saw being carried was wearing pajamas very similar to Madeline's. Now, I think she was wearing, like, some kind of flowery pajamas. Mm-hmm. There was pink, you know, like, that's a normal...
Girl.
It was nothing very unique and specific. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be surprising if another child had very similar pajamas or the exact same pajamas. We were at a concert and we must have seen like 10 people with the same freaking shirt. So
yeah.
It's not unusual.
Mm-hmm. And they all had like the same, you know, Did You America Today bandanas, you know?
They did all have Did You America bandanas.
Yo.
I don't even want to know.
You don't know Did You America?
No. I didn't do America.
We're
going to
have to show you that later.
Yeah, there's a video. It's pretty funny. And I'd have to give the guy props because I don't know his name. But one of the things he says is he's Do America Today.
Oh, my goodness.
They start riding this lawnmower. And then they try and ride it, but they're too heavy. So it flips over.
We will show it to you after this. Okay. And Did You America Today? Because Callie was like, I just want to yell out, did you America today?
But I felt like I was going to get punched if I did that. Yeah. Because they're all rednecks.
I said, do you know how many people would probably be like, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Woo!
Gabby even pointed out, somebody was wearing a shirt that said biscuits and porn.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But wow. I did see the guy wearing a shirt that I've seen before, but I love it. And it said, I like pig butts and I cannot lie. Love it.
Well, that's true. Anyway.
Right. Anyway, back to topic.
The pajamas weren't unusual. But again, I guess at 8:30, like, well, I guess at this point it's like 9 o'clock. Kid being, you know, strong-armed by a person in their front. I could see it, yet I would still probably take note. And obviously she took note enough to remember it.
Which is surprising because honestly, like, I think about if someone went missing, I probably wouldn't remember shit. And we talked about this before, like, I wouldn't have any idea what my kid was wearing at all. I have no kind of memory for that.
You're a bad parent, Sandy.
That is so mean. I'm just honest.
She's a step-parent.
Technically.
She didn't have to take a test.
You wouldn't remember this Aaliyah shirt I begged you for, like, 15 minutes to buy me straight?
No. I'd probably think it was the shirt you had on yesterday with Mr. Devil.
Well, it was a goat.
It was a... Why must you disrespect the goat like that?
Anyway. All right, so I know I wouldn't remember, so the fact that she remembers, like, hindsight's 20/20, but I would think something had to have made it stick, like you said.
Well,
like,
that's I mean. It stuck enough for her to remember it, and by the way, I would remember the Aaliyah shirt because she's dead, and I think that's pretty cool, and I really liked her in Queen of the Damned.
Aaliyah.
So, and as you were wearing it and I saw you, I was like, I wonder if she got that before she died or after she died. But either way, she reminds me.
I'm pretty sure Callie wasn't born before she died.
Oh, wow.
You are showing your age, my friend. Yes, you are.
How do you even know who she is, then?
My middle name is Aaliyah, based off of her.
After her. My husband loves Aaliyah.
Oh, my God.
If Aaliyah was alive, he'd be totally going after her.
Oh, my God.
I'd be going after her, too. She's pretty swaggy.
She is pretty swaggy. I will give you that.
I'm guessing you haven't seen Queen of the Damned, then.
I actually have.
I think she has.
Oh, great movie. She's excellent.
Why would you say not? She's swaggy.
Yeah.
Swaggy means awesome.
I wasn't saying about anything about swaggy. I was saying she probably wasn't alive yet when that movie... Oh. She hasn't seen that movie.
Okay.
That don't mean anything.
That's true, it doesn't.
I have to sit and stare at old people all day.
Look, when she was younger, she did a project on Aaliyah.
Really?
Yeah, she
did. That's pretty cool.
So.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot about that?
I think I actually still have it.
I think I just take note of clothing, especially. Like, you're wearing that. First of all, you're wearing long sleeves, which is too damn hot. I have to be wearing long sleeves, so first of all, I'm kind of... And then I noticed that you have, like, a red stitching up your collar neck, so I think that's a little weird because it's not on any of the rest of your clothing anywhere, so I think that's strange.
Well, it is. It's on the inside.
It's on the inside.
That is even weirder, actually.
Yeah,
that doesn't help any.
You can only see it on the one section around your collar, so I think that's weird. And Gabby, I just thought your shirt was really cute.
Thank you.
It is. I would totally wear that. So.
I notice everything because I think everybody's out to get me to kill me. That guy's looking at me. Oh no, I'm gonna die.
I don't think she should listen to true crime anymore.
No, we probably shouldn't.
Even without it, I think it just, I get freaked out.
It's probably better to notice and be more aware. You can't live your life in fear because then you'll never live, but it's probably better to take note of a lot of things that are going on around you just in case.
It is better to be aware.
My dad had me take a, like, mace and a taser with me.
What, to walk around
and a window breaker?
No, not the neighborhood. To go to, on a road trip.
Yeah, and I went to the Statue of Liberty, and I didn't know I couldn't take that there, and I guess, you know, it's kind of dumb of me to take that, but I had to take it all the way back to the car.
Sure, you can't bring weapons to things like that.
No, in public places.
Those are considered weapons.
Yeah, they really are.
So,
you have to get weapons that are not really weapons, like keys, and stick them between your fingers.
You should get the comb thing. I've seen so many of these where it's a comb and he has a little pocket thing and it's just a knife.
That is illegal.
That is so old. Do you know how old those things are?
In places like that.
Yeah,
they specifically have those marks.
We are so off track.
Really?
I'm bringing us back. I've seen Tim Allen McCain.
Back to her flowery pajamas that she nobody noticed, but they did notice.
Yes, and I forgot what else I was going to tell you that's not in my notes. But over the years, they had a lot of different suspects. Like I said, they suspected the parents. They suspected the guy who went and checked at 9:30 because, Matt. Like, why'd you offer?
Yeah.
You know, but
and then not really check. Nice.
But I can understand that, too, at the same time. Like, I think I can kind of get it. They keep looking for her. Over the years, it just keeps coming up. There have been many theories. There is a theory that she was trafficked, which is unfortunate, but very possible.
Sorry, the two-year-old siblings, boys or girls?
One boy, one girl.
So I'm just curious, why take the one and not the other? Others?
Well, I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say stealing two children is probably harder.
Well, or like, three. Also think about it. If they were to take just the girl, because typically more women get sex trafficked, you know, so. If they take the girl, then they can just use the boy as a reference. How she kind of looks, pretty much.
But they're not taking the twins. There was three.
I'm saying, like, why not take the twins?
Yeah. I'm wondering, is there a sex trafficking for men? Does that happen?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure there is. Not all women are good.
You have male prostitutes. I'm sure there are men who are forced into it. Mm-hmm. I would not doubt that at all.
No.
Like, men do get raped. They do get...
Yeah, it can totally happen. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I've just never heard of a male sex trafficking case.
Well, and I think because you don't hear of many women who get prostitutes, but it does happen. Yeah. You ever been to Vegas?
No.
Oh, well, they'll hand you out all the ones for the men, let me tell you. You can hire a male.
Why would I buy that?
I don't understand why men buy it. You can get it for free. It may not be the greatest, and it may be with some fucked up looking chick, but you can get it.
But that's just it. Like,
go down the corner.
All I gotta do, hey, I feel like having sex. Anybody want to?
Yeah.
It's true, though. And that's why I've never understood prostitution. But yeah, whatever floats your boat, dude. I think sometimes people want that just for the fact of non-committal and all of that. No drama.
Yeah.
But going backwards. So they think that that's a possibility. It's always a possibility that someone got her murdered or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any answers. But in mid-2020, a man named Christian Brueckner, who was 45 years old, he was named as a suspect. He was in jail in 2020 for raping a woman at the same resort where Madeline was kidnapped. So, and it was an older woman. It wasn't a child. But, whatever. He's been around that area, I think, is kind of the idea. Prosecutors decided that they don't want to charge him yet with Madeline. Because, he's in jail anyway.
So, was he in the area at the time of Madeline's disappearance?
Yes.
But I don't think, honestly, if you're raping an older woman versus a child...
Some people don't discriminate, man.
Some people don't, but there is a large majority that do discriminate, actually.
Well, and if you go by what research says, rape is not about sex, it's about power
control.
And control. So...
But again, the pension...
And the woman he raped was, like, in her 70s, so it's almost like... No,
Oh, why did you give me that mental image? Oh my god. I can never go to sleep again.
He likes the older ladies, that's all I'm saying.
Again, if you have a certain penchant for that, you know, I fail to see where, again, because child is very, very specific.
I have a theory. I'm gonna devil's advocate you again.
Sweet.
Maybe Madeline was the first. And he realized the child was too difficult.
But he would have had, again, to even start with a child, like, you have to be a special kind of dick in order to...
To rape a woman, you have to be a special kind of dick.
Exactly.
To rape anybody.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You are correct. To rape at all.
To rape
you
at
must
all.
Be a special kind of ass.
Very, very true. But, again, a child on top of that is a special kind of dick.
Yeah, I agree.
So...
Special.
It's a special, special... Like... Honestly, as I vomit in my mouth a little bit, I don't think a 7-year-old is as bad as a child, because that is a special kind of...
Are you not calling 7-year-olds children?
70.
Yeah. Oh,
I thought you said...
Yeah, no, 70-year-old women.
And, like, I would think... No, I'm not even going to make that next
but
comment.
But
anyway.
Sometimes it's just the opportunity has presented itself.
But again, I think with people that are raping children, it's not like, oh, you know, if there's 5 people in a room, there's a 3-year-old, there's a 17-year-old, there's a 25-year-old, and a 70-year-old, I'm going to go for the 3-year-old. Like, I don't think, I think you literally have to have a special kind of misconnection in the brain for you to go there.
Every single person who participates in that thing is messed up really bad in the head.
Agreed.
They were more than dropped on their head as a baby.
Agreed, but...
I think going back on what you said, Sandy, it's opening an opportunity to punch him in the face, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I do think you're generally correct, but there are cases where it doesn't matter. And there are multiple cases that I could probably list off the top of my head where there is no rhyme or reason to the victims.
They're just sadistic.
Yes, yeah. They're just... Yes. That, they just do. All right. Anyway, prosecutors decided not to charge him. And the only reason they haven't charged him is because he's already in jail, so he can't hurt anybody else.
You can't go get anywhere.
And they want more time to gather more concrete evidence, because at this point, if they go forward...
It'll probably get thrown out.
Yes. So they're working on it, but my guess is before he would get released,
they'll do something.
I hope so.
But I hope they have something more than he's a...
This is me scratching the seat.
Stop!
I'm sorry.
If anybody just heard some weird cracking, I'm really not sure what it was, but it came from some part of Gabby's body.
You made that sound even sketchier than it was.
I know, I did that on purpose. Because nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh.
So, I hope they have more concrete evidence than he's a rapist that knows that resort.
This is, again, another one where they really haven't released the evidence, per se.
Yeah, I expect they would.
Another one I'd like to follow up on. I mean, if they figured out what happened to Madeline McCann, that'd be pretty interesting, because I just remember, again, that case, her parents got ripped left and right.
No offense, I can completely understand that. Again, mm-hmm. That's why I think parents need to take a test. Like, that should not... First of all, it's not legal. It is technically illegal to do that. I don't know if it is in Portugal, but in this country, you cannot leave children alone at that age by themselves. That's one of those, you should have to pass a test of, should I ever leave my 3-year-old and two-year-olds by themselves with an unlocked door? I don't care if you're 50 feet away, 100 feet away, a mile away. The answer is no.
Do you know what bothers me, too? Is it's not like you left them at your house.
No.
You left them in a foreign country.
In a strange place.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and how many kids sleep that well?
Actually, when they're young, you'd be surprised, especially if they had a lot, like, a busy day, and they got wore out in their busy day. Little kids like that, yeah, they'll knock right out.
That's true, but then you have the other kids that, it's not my bed, it's not my pillow, it's not my stuffed animal, I can't sleep in a strange place. So, it's like and I'm sure they took that into account, you know.
It just sucks, overall, and I do feel bad for the parents that they kind of got a bad rap on this, but I get it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I do. They still lost a child, and it sucks. And I'm not going to say, you know, it doesn't matter how much they did or didn't do. It shouldn't have happened, obviously.
It's
because,
the whole fundamental.
But I guess my point is if you're not doing absolutely everything you can to prevent something like that, then
I guess my problem
need to be reevaluating.
It feels like victim blaming at that point. And I'm
not going
to
do that.
100% against that. Yeah. So it's unfortunate what happened to them. I mean, it was a bad choice, and they're paying for it very, very deeply.
And I mean, I'm not going to say, I make bad choices all the time, and they don't lead to things like that, and I'm grateful, but to your point, anybody could be in that situation of just making a bad choice and it turning terribly wrong.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just lucky in that respect, I think.
Well, and that's the thing, it's easy for us to judge sitting here.
But I don't know, I feel like you can, like, smell the mistake before it happens. It's like a potent smell with that type of situation.
Does so it smell many like people shit? Think nothing will happen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And that's because they're stupid.
Well, it's twofold. So I think a lot of people walk around, and I mean, even to some degree I do. When I walk around, I don't think anything's gonna happen. I go walk down the street, you know, I don't have a sidewalk. You know, I'm walking down the street in neighbor's yards, and I think nothing's going to happen.
Well, that's also because you know your environment.
I do to a certain extent, but anything can happen anytime. It's so true. You have to balance risk versus reward type of thing. can I live my life knowing that anything can happen at any time? No, I'd be a complete agoraphobic. I'd be homebound, couldn't go to the grocery store because God only knows. So people can't live that way either.
That's going to be me. I'm going to be hiding in my house with, like, a bunch of cats.
You already kind of do.
Ferrets and...
Maybe she will grow up to be an agoraphobic.
Maybe.
So the other thing for me, too, is it's one thing you say, like, you take risks in your personal life, but it's another thing to put your children in a position of risk. And that's a big thing to think about.
It is. And I think that's where I get a little bit, you know, a little bit more irritated by it. Because it's one thing if you're doing it to yourself. It's another thing if there's an unknowing individual that's depending upon you that you're putting at risk.
You all suck at being quiet.
I've been quiet the entire time.
You guys are so distracting.
You are. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like, you're the one and done, man.
I was like, the dogs are distracting. I think you guys are worse.
They are.
It's hard.
You're the one who said okay to this. I said I don't know about that.
Anyway.
All right, so we're going to move on to Madeline
case
Camp.
Number 3.
Yeah, that's
or no, eight.
Or 7.
So. God,
stayed on Madeline McCann forever.
Yeah.
Damn, I suck.
You kind of do. Stop mathing. So good for you. We are going to talk about Dior Coons Jr. Now, Dior was 2 years old.
That's a good name.
His parents were Jessica. Wait,
that's a he?
Yes. Did you think Dior? Well, I guess you're thinking of like D-I-O-R.
Yeah.
It's spelled D-E-O-R-R.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So, his parents were Jessica Mitchell and Vernal Dior Coons Sr. They were engaged at the time that this happened. They went to the Timber Creek Campground. I cannot talk. I'm, like, about done with this. The Timber Creek Campground in Idaho on July 9th, 2015.
Well, see, that's their problem. They went on vacation in Idaho.
Yeah. Like, they were from Idaho. So, I mean, like... They stayed in state.
Okay.
Okay, I guess that doesn't make it better. It's not like we vacation in our home states, really. Vacations to us are, like, far, far away.
Yeah.
Anywhere but here.
I'm just kidding. I've never been to Idaho. I'm sure it's a wonderful place. Campgrounds are nice, too.
I've never been to Idaho, either.
I just keep thinking, Idaho.
They got taters.
They do.
All right. So, their grandfather, Robert Walton, and his companion, Isaac Reinwand, also went. Now, I don't know by companion what is meant by that. I don't know if it was just a friend or if they had a relationship. I have no idea. Okay. I'm going with just a friend because there was no indication otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
They had two camps set up at the campsite. So they had one for the grandparent and his friend, and then they had one for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Dior's parents took him to a general store kind of for, like, candy and snacks and things like that after they had breakfast. And then they went back to the campsite. Now, at the general store, there's a surveillance, of course,
mm-hmm.
showing him. So that's the last time anybody actually outside of the family saw him alive. They went back to the campground, and Jessica and Vernal went to the creek to catch fish. Jessica says she asked the grandfather to watch Dior. He says he didn't hear her. So nobody's watching Dior now.
Where was he? In their camp, in their camper, and in the grandfather's camper? Like...
Well, it's a campsite. So
well, I know,
like,
but
tents.
They have,
it's tents. So they're just outside.
But either way, like, if you're leaving your child with someone, wouldn't you bring said child to?
Wouldn't you make sure they absolutely heard you? I don't know.
Okay.
They came back at 1:30. I think it was like, I want to say it was like an hour or something later. They came back. And couldn't find Dior. So they looked all around. They called his name. Nobody could find him. They called 911. Now, the other thing, too, is Vernal went off the site because he couldn't get service. So he was driving to get better service to call 911 while Jessica somehow did have service. So I don't understand that because she called 911. Hmm. They searched for 2 days on foot, on horseback, on ATVs, with helicopters and drones.
Wow.
And found nothing. And the search was pretty quick after he went missing, so mm-hmm. you would think they'd find him.
Yeah.
All 4 people on the trip were found to be dishonest and gave differing accounts of what happened. The parents refused a polygraph, which never looks good.
No.
And I question the reason for refusing a polygraph. Mm-hmm. I always question that, because if you've done nothing, you have nothing to hide.
Right.
And polygraphs can't be used against you in court anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you failed, it's not...
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to fail a polygraph either, but... I don't know. If you're innocent, like, for me, it would be... Get that shit done with so that you can move on and find the person or find the kid. Just do it. So the family hired a private investigator. Well, now this looks good for the family, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're looking. And this was Klein Investigations. I'm not sure how long Klein Investigations was on the case. But the parents fired him. They had a problem with the fact that he spoke to the media while investigating. They said he shouldn't be doing that. But Klein says the parents were involved and murdered him.
Wow.
Now, if the private investigator's saying that, my gut is he has some reason to say
that. He didn't just make that up.
He may not have concrete evidence, but he's got something.
Yeah.
The parents got evicted due to non-payment, and investigators went in and searched the house or apartment, I think. I forget what it is. But went and searched where they lived previously, and they found the jacket that they said Dior was wearing, and toys they said Dior had with him when he disappeared. So that's very troubling. And here's the other thing. If you did kill
your kid,
why would
you have those?
Why wouldn't you get rid of it? That's
exactly.
Evidence. Like, burn that shit.
Exactly.
But we've always talked about criminals are dumb.
Yeah.
The parents called off their engagement, clearly, because that's what usually happens in cases like this, and moved on. And, like, she married somebody else, and now they won't talk to the media at all. So there's no information from them, and there's no updates.
And Grandpa didn't care?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. Grandpa and the friend and even the grandmother who wasn't on the trip all have differing accounts of things, and the police believe the family was very heavily involved and wanted to get rid of Dior for one reason or another.
What's the motive behind that? Like, why didn't they like this kid?
I don't know, and one theory was trafficking. They sold the kid. Possibly sold the kid for drugs. I mean, there's all kinds of ideas. Killed him because he was in their way, I guess. I don't know.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
But.
Sadly, this sounds like one of those cases where nobody really cares. And this poor kid, nobody's really looking.
Yeah, it seems like his parents give two shits now. I hate to say that because I don't know the parents, obviously.
Exactly.
I don't know how they feel. But
there's just a lot of suspicious.
Trying.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like the McCanns.
Exactly.
You would not forget my child's name.
Exactly.
So, I don't know where that's going to lead off. I believe right now there are no searches being done, but there are, like, groups on Facebook and stuff who are always looking. I know this was one of the cases I think they covered on Web Sleuth.
Mm-hmm.
So, people are looking, but...
Unfortunately, it sounds like the people that should be are not.
Yeah. Yep.
And by that, I mean the family, not, like, investigators or anything like that. That's really sad.
All right, so moving on.
This is another one of those cases where abortion should be legal. Just saying. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want the kid, why'd they have him? Anyway, next.
Maybe they wanted him until he started talking.
I think that's how my parents felt.
I think that's how I feel with you.
Oh! Ouch! Ouch, that hurt.
I love you. All right. Charles Horvath. He was 20 years old, he was from England, and he decided that he wanted to backpack across the country of Canada. So he went to Canada. He got there about May 1989 at some point.
Sorry, but if I'm going to backpack across any place, Canada wouldn't be it.
No, right? I don't know.
Just because it's freaking cold.
I don't know what's interesting in Canada to backpack across, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I think he had family that lived there. I think his father lived there. His mother lived in England. What?
Please, Peanut Gallery. What was that for?
I would say Ryan Reynolds is pretty interesting, but he wasn't born then.
What?
In 1989?
Ryan Reynolds.
How old is
I'm pretty sure Ryan Reynolds is like old as me.
I think he's around our age.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he was born in 1989.
Yes. What?
We're searching now.
Oh my God. Are you saying that Ryan Reynolds is a suspect?
No, she's saying he's interesting in Canada. Because I said I don't know what's interesting in Canada.
Oh, God. Is he from Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, I just I didn't realize
he's that. A Canadian-American actor.
Oh. I like Ryan Reynolds. Okay, I do, too.
45.
I was going to say, I thought he was around 76.
Yeah, he or maybe they drowned in maple syrup, you know?
You have a lot of weird theories. Okay. So, anyway.
Or Ryan Reynolds. Ronald McDonald's came after him. He wanted him back in America.
We're back
on Did they have McDonald's in Canada back then?
Good question. I'm pretty sure McDonald's was everywhere, wasn't it?
I don't know.
McDonald's is a plague now.
Well, now, yeah. But I don't know in 89 if it was. I've just no not. All right, anyway. Moving on. Yep. We're so off track. So while he was going across the country, he stayed at hostels, he stayed at his friend's house, and then he stayed at a place called the Tiny Tent Town Campsite.
Cool.
He also got a job while he was staying there briefly at the Flintstones theme park, which is awesome and it no longer exists.
Aww.
It doesn't exist anymore.
You got me all excited just
I know,
to disappoint
but this
me.
Was the 80s. I mean, that's of course, true. You know what they need is a Jetsons park. That would be awesome. All right, anyway.
Well, no, because like the Jetsons was set in like 20, like 30 or something. We're nowhere close to that.
No, but they need the futuristic type thing so you can ride like your little
Epcot.
I've never been there, so I don't freaking know.
I think really? That was, like, the point of Epcot. But, yeah, but it's not that futuristic anymore.
I don't even think we'll get to that ideal future until, like, 30,000.
Yeah. I don't think we'll get there. I think the Earth is going to... 3,000? I think the Earth is going to purge itself.
Yeah, we're all going to die. Yeah, we're kind of being run by idiots.
Yeah. But I do, we get distracted I do think by ice cream Carrie's trucks. Right, though. I think no one's going to be alive by then.
No.
So, he was supposed to meet his mother in Hong Kong in August for his birthday. I believe it was his 21st birthday. He was going to meet her there, and they were going
to
celebrate.
When did he start backpacking, to say?
May.
Okay, so he started in May, and he was supposed to meet his mom in Hong Kong in August.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of months, but
yeah,
he didn't... So far, his backpacking trip sounds very similar to what people do in Europe. They stay in hostels, they stay...
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not that unusual, but... You're telling me his mom didn't talk to him between May and August?
So, no, she did. The last time she heard from him, and this is going to just take you so far back, was like May 7th, by fax.
What?
I told that. Okay, he faxed her. I have no idea.
So, no, fax is so impersonal. There were phones. Phones existed. I mean, not necessarily cell phones, but
long distance would have been so expensive back then.
True.
Oh,
and gosh. Overseas, and like, yeah, that would have been bad. So, at any rate, she got the facts from him, but then he was last seen cashing a check from work on May 26th of 1989.
Okay.
That's the last confirmed sighting. Denise called the RCMP, and I'm not sure when she did that. And anybody who doesn't know, that's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. She called them, and can't really tell when it was. I don't know if it was May or if it was, you know, not until July, but... Come July, they were looking for him. Actually, I'm a freaking liar.
I hate when you lie.
So I forget exactly when she called. They didn't actually start investigating until the following year, July 1990.
Wait, okay. So he was supposed to meet his mom in Hong Kong in August.
She filed a missing persons report in August.
And they didn't start looking till the next July?
I can't say 100% that they didn't do anything. Oh but they gosh. Didn't start investigating, like, the campsite.
Right.
Which, by that point, it's been so long since he's been at the campsite. Like, yeah, there's been over a year.
Yeah.
So, most of his stuff was gone. There were three small items that the manager had still, which was a rosary, a tiny red paper Bible, and a leather strap from his boot, which is the most random freaking thing.
Why would they keep that?
I don't know, but all his other items were thrown away. So, not a whole lot of evidence there. Denise would keep going to Canada. I believe she still goes to Canada and looks and gets the word out, puts up posters, asks around, things like that. There were several different theories. One was that he just said, fuck you people, and wanted out and wanted to start a new life and hated his mother or some... I don't know where that comes from because as far as I could tell, that was never a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he wanted to get away from his mom. Didn't want her to know where he was. Another theory is that, you know... He disappeared, he got lost, and anything could have happened.
Bears. Moose.
The biggest theory, and Denise says someone told her this, that a gang of bikers had stopped at the campsite. And they were on their way to a party. And it was a bunch of U.S. bikers in a gang. They were on their way to a party somewhere. And they made this stop to spend the night at the campsite. One of them decided to kill Charles to get a patch. Because you know how they say, like, for initiation for some places and gangs and things? You can also get patches for proving yourself. So they say one of them killed Charles to get the patch, and they dumped him in a lake. Well, when this came out and Denise told people, a bunch of volunteers searched the lake, and they did find a body, but it wasn't Charles.
Well, at least they found somebody.
So Charles has been missing for, and I'm not going to math again,
a long time.
Over 30 years.
Wow.
So,
I mean, mad props to Mom for continuing to, you know, try.
It's hard to give up. He has been declared legally dead. I mean, I think she was against it, but, because you never want to do that, obviously. You want to hold out hope.
Yeah.
But at some point, you don't have a choice.
I know this is another topic that we're going to cover at some point, but I kind of wish that we're that, like, people that did do stuff wrong, like, the deathbed confession, just get it out. Get it out so that you at least, yeah, that you at least, you're not gonna pay for what you did and whatever, that's fine, but at least give somebody some resolution to something.
I agree. I mean, it sucks when the families don't have closure.
Exactly.
Like, at least if you know they're dead, you can move forward.
Yeah, you can process it now. But, and that's the thing, I always say, and I know this is gonna sound weird, but I hate hope. I really don't like the feeling of hope. Because it's this weird lingering that can go either way, good or bad, or could stay in this stasis of unknown forever.
Look at the McCanns. I'm going to go back to them because think about this, right? Their entire life now is focused on finding Madeline.
Mm-hmm.
But they have other kids.
Exactly.
So those other kids are not getting the same amount of attention as they probably would have.
Yep.
Life is very different than it would have been.
Yes.
And it's not... It's great that they're looking, but it takes over your whole life.
It does.
And if you had the closure, if you knew, you could move on.
Exactly.
All right, next case we're going to cover is Leo Whitaker. He was 86 years old. He traveled with his wife to Costa Rica in November of 2001 with a humanitarian group. They had done this multiple times. It was where you had to pay for yourself. You would go with this group and you would do good deeds. You would build schools or churches, paint schools or churches. Things like that. And they would do it. I mean, they were retired.
Good for them.
And they wanted to help people.
They're 86 still doing that. Awesome.
Yeah, he was 86. I think she was 75. But he was healthy, as far as anybody could tell, and liked to help people. That was really what he did after he retired. That's what he wanted.
That's awesome.
So they went to the Tabacan Resort. Tabacan? I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it, so we're going to go with Tabacan, because that sounds funny. It was hot springs.
Ooh, nice.
Yes. November 8th, they went to the hot springs. They had done, like, a school earlier that day, and they were going to the next destination and decided to take a little pit break to get lunch and visit the hot springs for, like, an hour.
Mm-hmm.
His wife walked... Okay, well, let me go backwards. He was sitting on a bench that was near the tour bus. His wife walked 15 to 20 feet away and went into the hot springs. He wanted to rest on the bench. No big deal. 30 minutes later, she comes back, and he's just gone.
Wait, 20 feet away?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a distance you can see?
Yes.
And...
But if she was in the hot springs with her back to him...
I don't know about you. I've been in situations where I want to do something, boyfriend doesn't want to do something, so he sits there. I go and do my thing. I turn around, face him.
Not everybody would.
I guess maybe that's just me.
I don't know. I can't say whether I would or I wouldn't. My kids? Yes. My husband? I don't know. Might not.
Hell, I would because do that I would with think, your kids.
Well, that's also because your husband is rabid and will bark at anybody who looks at him wrong.
That's true.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't even.
Yes, he's but very I just intimidating.
Think, I just think it's unusual, like, for a couple, especially, I mean, I don't
older.
Know when they got together. Yeah, like...
They've been together for a long time.
That they would lose that sight. Because even if you're not talking to one another, it's more of like you communicate just, like, say hi, you know, from a distance, or maybe I'm just a dork like that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Not saying she did anything wrong. I just find that a little bit unusual.
And maybe, like, the bench was, like, in a way she couldn't see from the hot spring. So, the employees at the resort said he had come in and he was asking about his wife, like, 10 to 15 minutes before they went in asking, like, if anybody'd seen him. And there were guards, because it's a resort in Costa Rica, and like we were saying earlier, you stay in the resorts. So they have guards at the gate, and the guard said, he went up to them and said, can I leave the resort? And they said, sure, and he walked down the road, and it was only like 15 minutes before someone took a car and went to find him and found nothing. Now, it was raining, so no tracks. The area had a fence on one side and like a jungle type on the other. They have no clue where he went. They did searches for a whole bunch of days, but never found any evidence, because rain would wipe away anything they would find. Still hasn't been found. And the family thinks maybe he fell asleep on the bench and woke up disoriented and didn't know where his wife was.
I was going to say, it almost sounds like an Alzheimer's situation.
Which at 86 would not be surprising, and that's another reason why at 86 I would probably keep more of an eye, especially being the younger spouse.
Exactly.
You'd want to make sure the older spouse... But if he had no signs or symptoms to make you believe
that he would have some sort of... Yeah. But especially if he went up to the guards and it was asking about his wife, obviously there's some miscongruency there where she went to the hot spring, he was sitting on a bench, and now he's like, where'd my wife go? You just knew where she was, so... Yeah, maybe there's some confusion, but that still doesn't explain why they didn't find anything anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that's Leo Whitaker. I honestly, unfortunately, at this point, doubt that they'll find him. I mean, it's always a possibility, but 86 years old, and this was in 2001.
Yeah, that's just one of those things where I go, okay, what could have happened? You know, assuming it's not some natural cause, assuming there was some intervention that caused his disappearance, what does anybody have to gain from kidnapping, murdering, you know, other than, you know, murdering just for the hell of it because you want to know what it feels like type of thing, which does happen.
They said he didn't even have anything, like, on him, no money or anything. The only thing he had was a watch, and it was, like, a cheap watch.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, what are you getting out of an 80... You know, killing or kidnapping an 86-year-old man. Like, but then there's the, well, if it was kind of, like, jungle-ish area, maybe a jaguar just came out and went...
Maybe he got eaten. You never know.
Yeah, it could happen. But I would think at that point there would be some trail.
Maybe they thought it was scrumptilicious.
Scrumptilicious.
At that point, I can't imagine he has much fat on him.
No, right? 86 be like, years old,
he'd it's, be what is it, like,
frail.
Well, I mean, human like... jerky?
Oh my god, you're not right. That was the meanest thing in the world. Oh my god.
Well, I mean, think about it.
It's realistic.
Like, if you're a panther or something, you just see this thing moving, you go, looks yummy. I'm gonna attack that thing.
Right?
It is possible, and that is a very good possibility in Costa Rica, around a jungle, outside of a resort. Absolutely possible that it could have been an animal.
All the more reason, stay on the resorts.
My thing is, 15 minutes later, you drove down the road and you couldn't find nothing. That's pretty suspicious. Yeah. And to me, he must have gone into the woods somehow. Like, he must have wandered into the jungle. And more than likely, he was confused.
But yeah. Poor man.
It's unfortunate. Our last case. And I'm not going to lie, I do find this one to be the most interesting.
Yay!
This is Lars Metank. Now, most people who know true crime will know Lars Metank.
That's a really interesting name.
A lot of people may not know this case. It actually has gotten more press lately, I think, or in the past couple years, I should say. Lars was 28 years old. He was from Germany. And in June 2014, he went with a group of his friends. There were four friends with him. They went to Varna, Bulgaria, which was apparently like a big place that people from Germany would go for vacations. And when they went, it was like a high time for vacation. So... they went to a resort. It was all-inclusive. On July 5th, Lars got into an altercation with other German tourists over a soccer game at a bar. Rival teams and such. So he was rooting for the one team, and they were rooting for the other, and they got into... I don't know if it was a full-on scuffle or just exchanged words. It's not clear. His friends, after they'd been drinking for a couple of hours, were like, we're going to go get some food. And Lars said, I'm good. I'm just going to go back to the hotel. Okay, fine. when they got back to the hotel, he wasn't there. He shows up the next morning, said he got beat up, and there were different stories depending on the friends. Some of the friends said he said it was the four guys, or not the four guys, I don't know how many there were, the German tourists that beat him up. Other friends said he said that they hired people to beat him up. So who knows, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, he got beat up. He said his ear hurt, but he waited 2 days to go see a doctor. I think he just thought, you know, he'd been hit, it would pass, but yeah, it didn't. He went to the doctor, found out he had a ruptured eardrum.
Mm.
Well, when you have a ruptured eardrum, you can't fly. Because
yep, pressure.
The pressure is going to really affect that and could make it much, much worse. The doctor gave him an antibiotic, told him don't fly. And one of the friends was like, I'll stay with you. And Lars was like, no, go ahead. Like, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But Lars wasn't fine.
Hmm.
Oh, no, Lars.
Because he was going after his flight was already booked, he needed a place to stay. The resort was packed because it was vacation time. I mean, you're talking about the summer. Mm-hmm. It's the time when everyone's going on vacation. So a lot of the hotels around there were also booked. So he wound up going to this cheap hotel in a really run-down kind of area, and it was called Hotel Color. He called his mom and said a couple of things. He said he was being followed. He said that the hotel felt strange and that Bulgaria wasn't safe. He sounded very paranoid. He sounded very terrified and upset. And she said she hadn't heard him like that. He asked her to block his credit card because he thought that when he checked into the hotel, they copied it and they were going to steal it. Surveillance footage from the hotel shows him pacing around, constantly looking out the windows, and hiding in the elevator. So, real weird behavior.
Yeah. Did they do something else happened in his brain when they beat him up?
They do think, now, there's theory that he might have had a concussion. Mm-hmm. Might have been worse than they thought,
mm-hmm.
but not clear.
Very paranoid behavior, though.
Very, very paranoid. And so, at 1 a.m., he left the hotel for like an hour, but no one knows where he went. But he came back. The next morning, he was so upset that he just wanted to go home. He was just done.
Mm-hmm.
So he called his mom, and she booked him a flight for that afternoon. She also bought him a bus ticket just in case he couldn't take the plane, because mm-hmm. he had to get cleared. And she had sent, wired like $500.
Germany monies.
Yes. I forget. I think it was pounds, actually, but I don't remember. So 500, whatever. But he never picked it up. So, on surveillance, you can see him go into the airport. And he goes into the medical office there. He's carrying a backpack and a travel bag. The doctor would say later, he was really nervous, he was acting very erratic. He brought up the antibiotics that he had been prescribed, and he was concerned that there was something in them, and that the other doctor was doing something to him.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of mentioned a little bit about being a little paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor told him he was fine to fly, but before he could give him the papers and, like, he left, a construction worker came into the doctor's office, and Lars got extremely terrified. And all of a sudden he said, I don't want to die here, I have to get out of here, and ran. Now, there's video of him running through the airport, and it is, I've never seen someone run like that. Like, you can tell he's terrified. And he is running through the airport, runs out the front door, didn't have his bags, left them in the doctor's office. He jumped a fence and ran into a field, and no one's ever seen him again.
Oh my gosh.
Interesting.
This is another one I might have to post it on Facebook, the video.
Because, I was gonna say, if you could.
Yeah, because it's actually interesting, and like I said, you can tell he's terrified. He looks like he's running for his life. Real shame. No one knows what happened. There are so many theories. They think that he had a concussion.
Yeah.
And he was confused.
Yeah.
And maybe has memory loss. Mm-hmm. And now he's somewhere homeless. That is one theory. That's kind of what his family leans towards. Another theory is that the antibiotics that were prescribed had some kind of side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know of any antibiotics. And I think one of the things I read said this, that have like a hallucinogenic, paranoid type effect. They suspect he may have taken illegal drugs, but his family and friends said he didn't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, true, not true.
Yeah.
Who knows? The friends might say he didn't, but mm-hmm. he might have. The friends might not know he did.
Right.
Who knows?
There's, yeah.
Another theory is that he was used as a drug mule, and okay. possibly the drugs, I mean...
Absorbed.
They, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, because I couldn't think of my words.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the problem. The second one that kind of goes along with that is maybe his friends were the drug mules, and he was kept backed as insurance.
Good point.
To make sure the drugs got to where they were supposed to go. Which is an interesting theory. But no one knows. And even though there have been many reported sightings, none have actually been confirmed.
Hmm.
So, Lars is just gone.
So I wonder, okay, this, so many questions. But it does really sound like something mentally was going
snapped.
On.
Yeah.
Something was going on. It's just, my question was, so he's from Germany and he vacationed in Germany.
Is so, Bulgaria in Germany? I have no freaking idea.
Oh, I thought you said they went to vacation in Germany.
Varney, Bulgaria.
Oh, no. That
I don't
sounds
know,
like another.
I don't know. I was going to say geometry. I don't know geography.
We don't know that one either. No, you're right. That might be. I just wonder how far it was. Because I know, like.
Well, if he could take a bus, it couldn't have been that far.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I probably would have been like, okay, I can't fly. Great. I'm getting out of here anyway. Like, especially if he was as paranoid as he was, which he apparently was.
Okay, but. And because I was thinking about this when I did the research. If you are afraid people are following you, I would not want to get on a bus.
And see, I would, because, like, public place, public people, lots around a lot of people, I wouldn't want to get in my own car, because then you could be run off the road and nobody knows where you are. But bus, there's many people.
Do you not know the cases where people have cut off people's heads on buses?
No.
You don't remember that case?
No.
Oh, my God.
What's the bus driver doing when somebody else can cut a head off on a bus?
Oh. So Bulgaria is a different country, and it is actually pretty far away.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Gabby is showing us.
Oh. Thank you, Gabby. Very helpful, actually. Oh, so it's all, like, down by Greece.
Yeah, I mean, Germany's okay. all the way up there, so.
Apparently, I don't know my geometry either.
Well, thank you.
My next question is listening, you know, having gone through these cases... it is a question, that's interesting to think about, but how long would you have to know someone as a friend before you went on vacation with them?
They were friends for a very long time. My understanding is they were friends from, like, school.
No, I understand that, but even thinking about some of these other cases that we've been talking about, the Matt with the little girl, the three-year-old girl, like,
yeah.
How long have you known these people? How long would you have
they
to know a person?
They were all doctors and they all worked together. But I don't know for how long.
Either way, my question stands. I mean, you and I have known each other since high school.
I wouldn't travel with you to save my life.
No. I don't trust you.
Nice.
No. But, like, how long would you have to know someone before you,
sadly,
you would be
not long.
Comfortable?
Think about the one case with the chick who went with the guy that she met a couple
right.
times.
But you personally.
My opinion?
No, you, for you.
Yeah,
how
that's
long
what I'm saying. Like, my
you...
opinion of me, like, how long would it take for me?
Yeah.
That's a hard question. I'm too trusting.
See, it's funny, because we had talked about a girls' trip with the friends that you have. So I haven't known your friends for very long.
Yeah.
I liked them when I did meet them when we went out for your birthday and everything. So I would feel comfortable going on vacation with your friends that you know.
Because I know them, and I've known
right.
most of them for a very long time.
Right, but and in some cases, in other situations, I think it would depend on the situation. Like, if my thing is if I'm going to get in a car with someone that I don't know, going on vacation with someone, I can get a separate hotel room, we can just hang out. So I don't feel unsafe in that situation. But if to get in a car with someone that I haven't known very long, where you're commuting together, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
I don't know. I think I suck at life, and I probably wouldn't take much for me.
I think vacationing with someone, no. But certain things about the vacation would. Like, again, sharing a car. If I had a separate car, a separate hotel, and we just did things together, no problems. If we shared a car,
shared a hotel room, oh hell no.
No, and as you're saying that, like, I have a complex about being stuck with people, and so sharing would be hard for me.
I do, too.
I definitely have a thing, I don't like to feel trapped. Yep. So, that would make me feel very trapped. Now, I say that, but when I was younger, I went with my best friend. She had been my best friend for probably 10 years, mm-hmm. and we went to Vegas together, stayed together, and that was fine.
But you've known each other for 10 years.
We've known each other a very long time.
So, that's a little bit different. But that, again, that begs the question. And for Gabby and Callie, who are younger than we are and haven't been through these kind of experiences in life, thank God. But just...
Granny.
Wow.
Okay.
You are so ignorant.
Whippersnapper.
But, I hate you.
So I'll ask you guys, now that you've listened to these stories, again... Sandy and I have a little bit more life experience where we've done dumb shit in our past that in this day and age would probably not be the smartest things to do.
I have never done dumb things in my life.
Okay.
Totally.
I am okay. The smartest.
Totally.
Okay.
Not even like 10 minutes ago called geography.
But that's not dumb. I mean, it's dumb, but it's done in a different way.
That's a different kind of dumb.
It is a different kind of dumb.
So, like, if somebody asked you, if one of your friends from school or whatever asked you to go on vacation, how long would you have to know them for you to be... I'm not, like, talking about your parents.
Well...
You.
As an example, not too long ago, I did go on a road trip with one of my friends, but I had known her for over 8 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I trust her, and by association, for the moment, I trust her mother. And now, while I may not know her mother very well, it's just the fundamental of... You know, she kind of has to return me to my parents. Right. So I trust her. Wouldn't say, like, I'd be buddies with her, but...
You wouldn't go on a trip alone with her because you don't know her.
Yeah.
But to go with your friend is...
Yeah. And, you know, her mother knows her stepmother who knows your mother. Mm-hmm. So there's connections there.
Yes.
Where there's...
However, if it was by association, let's say a couple of my friends... that I didn't really know very well. I may talk to them, but I wouldn't trust my life with them.
Got it.
I would not share anything with them.
Right.
Maybe like, oh, do you want to try my food? Sure, here, you can have the rest of it. I'm not going to eat anymore. You can have the rest of it.
Right.
Have
You're
fun.
You're the one to pack your own stuff because you don't trust anyone else.
Exactly. Right. And I wouldn't share anything, not even clothes, other than maybe like a notebook. Just easy stuff.
Stuff you can get
probably no physical contact with them.
Right.
None whatsoever, because you don't know what they have. You don't know where they've been. You don't know what they do.
You are such a germaphobe. You're like, I won't touch them because they're gross.
I don't want to be in the vicinity of sharing the same air.
They might have crabs.
They're going to leap! No, but that's smart.
And I don't really particularly have an issue with being in a car with them, but I wouldn't be sitting next to them. I'd rather have my actual friend next to me.
Yeah.
If I had to be sandwiched in between people.
The car thing concerns me because I'm not in control, and especially if I wasn't the one driving, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know where you're dropping me off.
That's true.
You can just go, and I can't control it, barring the fact that I... Barring the fact that I tuck and roll out the car. You know, and that's what makes me uncomfortable about those situations is I tend not to be the most directionally savvy person in the world. I'm very much a look out the window person when somebody else is driving. So I won't necessarily understand or know that somebody's taking me somewhere where they probably shouldn't be taking me.
Actually, right before the road trip, we stayed at my friend's house for a little bit. And we went on a little walk around her neighborhood. And we went to a candy shop, right? And we got a bunch of candy. All good. So her mom dropped us off there. And then she would check in with us every couple 5 minutes to make sure we were okay. Because we were walking back from the town to the house, which was like a 5-minute walk. Not far.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Google Maps up. And we kept alerting her mom how close we were. And she would call us. And she was like, if you need us to pick you up, call me. So, I remember my friend had to go to the bathroom, and her mom called her, and she didn't answer, so she started wigging out.
Yeah,
no doubt. Well, yeah, I would too.
Well, actually, I really like that one feature about, I don't know if Google Maps does it. I know a friend of mine used to do it a while ago. But, like, when you're going somewhere, like, in your car, you can alert someone of your trip and they can, like, follow where you're going.
Yeah. I've never used that. I have no idea.
I actually have. So I think that's actually a really good idea, especially when... Mm-hmm. So next time, Sandy, you come to my house, I want you to share the map so I can see where you're at so you're not going 700 miles outside of your destination.
Oh, I thought you were saying just because it took me like a bazillion years to get here today.
Well, I don't know that you didn't go 700 miles out of your way.
I might have.
Oh, exactly. Google Maps keeps up your route if you don't finish it. So if you don't actually actively finish it, it'll keep it up when you open the app.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I did it by accident the one day.
Lucky you.
So I figured that out. So if you feel like you're being followed and you're following like a route or something, that would be kind of smart.
Yeah. That's interesting.
What about you, Gabby?
Oh, yeah. My turn.
How long would you have to know someone before you felt comfortable going on vacation with them?
It's not exactly how long, per se, but how well I know the person. Because depending on the person, I can get along well with a person, like, easily like that. Like, we immediately connect. Or other people, where I had this certain friend, we used to argue, like, all the time. I would not go on a road trip with that friend, but I would go on with another friend that I felt more trusting with. Also, my parents would have to know.
Obviously, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, but so it sounds like you would follow your gut. Kind of your feeling on the person.
Yeah. But yours seems to more go with how well you seem to connect. So I'm going to throw this out there for you guys. So I dated someone for 14 years and then found out after 14 years there was this whole other side of him that I had no idea about. And during the 14 years that we were together, I never would have conceived that this was even possible, that this side existed, let alone was even possible. So it kind of made me almost not trust myself, because if I had known that person for 14 years and didn't realize that this is what he was capable of, like, who else do I know, Sandy, that I don't know what they're doing behind closed doors and what they might
you
be
have
capable
no
of
idea of the secrets I have.
I can spill secrets. She cuddles with her dog and then complains when he doesn't look at her.
I love him.
I kind of complain when your dog won't cuddle with me.
She does, actually. She gets upset when he won't cuddle with her.
I really
do. She laid in his bed the one day, and he wouldn't come over, and she was so mad.
I was a little bit pissed.
She's like, get in the bed and cuddle.
But touching back on what you said, it's the whole security of the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, you just get, you know,
you open
comfortable.
Up
yeah. Yeah. You open up and show your true self, but sometimes those people don't.
If you're not able to open up with a person, and show them their true side, they're not exactly trusting, no matter how long you've known the person.
Right. Yeah. What I'm saying is, you don't know that they haven't done that.
You don't. That's the thing. That's where there's always a risk. There could always be a side where I don't see anything in a person. That's always a possibility.
Yeah.
And it's honestly all about if you want to take that risk or not.
Right. Right. And I mean, I don't think following your gut is a bad thing. I think you should follow your gut. If your gut is saying, hey, alarm, 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 you really should follow it.
It's like that lady earlier where she opened up the laptop and saw all the things of the guy. Obviously, she didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So you only can figure it out over time.
Right.
And stuff like that. You're not always going to know.
Right.
That's the thing.
I feel like, I think I've said it before, but I've never fully trusted people because I feel like you never know who's going to flip a switch. I mean, how often does it happen?
Right.
And clearly you have a perfect example.
Yeah.
But it's weird to me because with my husband now, he is the only person I've ever actually fully trusted that I know for a fact that nothing would ever happen.
Okay, I'm a little offended, just gonna say.
I'm not saying dating! I'm not.
Yeah, backtrack right now!
I'm saying dating.
Uh-huh.
Dating.
Sure, she says that now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think you've offended my dog.
After what we've been through together.
So anyway, just a point to ponder for anybody listening out there. You know, obviously you can't live your life in fear, but there can be calculated risks that you take. But do it safely. You know your surroundings. Know who you're with. Always know escape routes and what could happen and potential ways out of it.
Always bring a buddy.
Yeah, that like, works,
like,
too.
Let's look at Lars. I mean, honestly, he should have had his friend stay with him.
Yeah, he really should have. Yeah, it would have been. Especially if he was that paranoid. I'm surprised he didn't.
I don't think he was paranoid. I don't think he was as paranoid at that point.
Yeah, maybe not.
You know?
Honestly, knowing your environment can help you, but the most important thing is something we actually can't solve, and that is the human brain. What we do, we cannot predict what other people are going to do, and while we may see little tiny things that your friends may do, little habits, it's your brain isn't in a full routine. Mm-hmm. And you can never actually tell what somebody else is thinking what you do.
That is true.
So the most dangerous thing, honestly, is a person.
Well, yeah.
Exactly. The most dangerous animal out there is humans.
I trust dogs more than I trust
people. I totally trust dogs more than I do people. They're so much better than people.
Most of them are really awesome.
Cats, although I love cats, they can fuck off.
Yeah, no, they're assholes.
How dare you? I love cats. I'm going to be a cat lady.
They're assholes.
But they are so unpredictable. Like, they have their attitudes.
No, I love, pet me, love me, let me bite you.
Yeah.
That's a cat. Dogs, not so much.
My cat is sweet. She would never bite anybody.
My cat doesn't.
Unless you give her two good pets.
See?
She's only bit somebody once.
She gets, like, really overstimulated.
But see, it happens. The point is dog, you can beat, and I'm saying this, I would never do this, but you can beat a dog, and they're still going to come up to you and ask you for pets.
Sadly, we had a dog with that experience, and she was the sweetest dog in the world, even though she was horribly abused. Best dog ever.
Just don't try to...
Better than my dog now, like, behavior-wise.
Just don't try to sleep next to her.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my God.
She would just, but she would lick you to death.
No, because you could hear her from 10 miles away. She was like,
leave Fat Vader alone. That was our Fat Vader, and I loved her. She was literally the best dog.
Yo, you gotta protect your grass grippers. She would stomp on those things like there was no tomorrow.
She had no idea how big and fat she was.
I love that about dogs. They're so, like, unaware of their own body. Like, Luna, it's so funny. Luna Luna's a golden retriever, and Coco is a Pomeranian, and she will be sitting there wagging her tail, hitting Coco upside the head, and have no concept. Maybe she does have a concept that she's smacking her across the face. It's so cute.
I mean, like, I smack the crap out of my brother and don't care. So
that's different.
Yeah, that's totally different. But we're pit bull people.
Yes.
So, you know, we have our pits, and everyone who's terrified of pits, let me just tell you from personal experience, do not be afraid, because the majority of them are the biggest babies in the world.
They're nanny dogs. So sweet.
I love them.
Anyway, that wraps it up for part two of Missing on Vacation. Again, hope you guys enjoyed. We will see you next week with a new topic. Until then, stay safe.
Bye.
See ya.